Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today we continue our series of conversations with Democrats running for president in 2020. Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan was elected in 2002 when he was 29 years old, at the time the youngest Democrat in the House. He came to national attention in 2016 when he tried to unseat Nancy Pelosi, arguing leadership had cost them elections in key Democratic strongholds in the Rust Belt. Congressman Ryan is now running for president to represent America's forgotten communities. Here he is speaking at Politics and Eggs breakfast at San Anselm College in New Hampshire yesterday morning.
When you see the concentration of not just wealth, but of opportunity, and then you represent a factory like General Motors, and you see General Motors gets a bailout, General Motors gets a tax cut, my people get the shaft.
He joins us from Washington now, Congressman Ryan. Thanks so much for being with us on Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have a question for Congressman Tim Ryan? What issues are most important to you going into the 2020 election? Please give us a call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. Congressman, let's start with the key question. Why are you running for president?
To represent those working class people that have been forgotten, those communities that have been forgotten. There's a concentration of wealth in the country. There's a concentration of opportunity. The wealthy get a tax cut. The wealthiest people in the country and the corporations get a bailout, and the average person is struggling to even make ends meet. You see the people, from my perception in Ohio, you see people on the coasts that buy their kids in the schools and the elite colleges and the Ivy Leagues, and it's not working anymore for the vast majority of the people, and I want to make sure that they have a voice and we start running this economy based on helping those people that are doing everything right.
So you're really speaking to the kind of the forgotten people in America, but it is a crowded Democratic field. What do you think most makes you different?
I live in this community. I live in a forgotten community. I grew up in a forgotten community. I could tell you stories from 40 years ago of my father-in-law losing his job at Youngstown Sheet and Tube off for 13 months and had to roof houses and, you know, just to get by. Or I could tell you a story 15 or 20 years ago of a cousin of mine as a Vietnam veteran who had to unbolt the machine from the factory floor and ship it to China right before he lost his job. And then many people are familiar with the General Motors plant just outside of Youngstown, Ohio, that just closed down a few weeks ago. I mean, it was at 16,000 people at one point, and now it's closed. And what differentiates me is when that factory closed or those things happen, I know who the people are. They're my family. They're my friends. My wife is friends with them. My wife teaches school. She's a first grade school teacher. The kids go to her school. My daughter, who's 15, called me crying that her friend was crying at school all day because her dad lost his job and they're going to have to move and she's going to be out of school. I mean, we know this. And I think the most important thing for the Democrats to do is send someone as our nominee and to make the next president somebody who deeply, deeply understands the struggles and the pain and the adversity that the working class and the working poor are going through today.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan, who's running for president in 2020. I'd love to jump right into the issues now, Congressman. You and President Trump both agree that China poses a significant competitive threat to American industries. And you told PBS's NewsHour Judy Woodruff that tariffs are an important tactic to use when negotiating with China as part of a larger strategy. Do you support the president's use of tariffs to try to push China toward a better trade deal?
I do support the use of tariffs. I do not support. I mean, the president has the problem right, but he has no clue as to what he's doing to actually fix it. Using tariffs in targeted ways, which are legal through international law, if a country's dumping steel or dumping a product, we should have a way to put on countervailing duties or use anti-dumping provisions. I think that's entirely appropriate. The problem with the president is there's no broader strategy, as you said. And, you know, they're beating us badly at electric vehicles, for example. They control 40 to 50% of that market. China dominates 60% of the solar panel market. China's running circles around us with fifth generation internet. If we're going to put our head in the sand and pretend that's not a problem, we're not doing our country or our kids or our economy any favors. And so we have to take them on. But you do that by having an industrial policy in the United States. Yeah, you you are firm with them. You make sure they don't cheat. You make sure they, best you can, don't steal intellectual property. But at the end of the day, you got to outcompete them. And what does that mean? That means investments in education, investments in healthcare, investments in our community, making sure we move to the green economy and the economy of the future, and then cut workers in on the deal. So we're rebuilding the middle class while we're rebuilding our economy. That's how you beat China.
So, listeners, we're talking to Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan, and we'd like to know what questions you have for him. Give us a call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's talk about this industrial plan, this industrial strategy, Congressman. I think it's safe to say that reversing the trend of deindustrialization in this country seems to be the driving theme of your campaign. So how do we reindustrialize? How do we stay competitive and support American industry struggling to keep up with China using the kind of statistics you just noted?
Well, some of the things that I'm going to do, one is I'll have a chief manufacturing officer that's working directly for me as president that will help us create this industrial policy. And then say, for example, the president drives it and drives the policy to say, okay, how do we dominate 50% of the electric vehicle market in the next 5 years? And you bring in the Department of Energy, Department of Transportation, venture capital, big three, emerging electric vehicle companies. And you say, what do we, Small Business Administration, what do we have to do to win this? And you put a plan together and you win it. And then you do the same thing with solar, Department of Energy, National Science Foundation. Who do we need involved, both public and private sectors, research institutions? And then how do we dominate it? And then my goal is, how do you steer that growth? Told you about 30 million electric vehicles in the next 10 years are going to be made somewhere in the world. We want to made in the United States. Solar's growing at 30%, wind's growing at 20%. So how do we dominate these industries and then steer the growth to the communities that have been left behind, communities of color, old coal, old steel, old auto, old rubber, making sure that this new growth is happening in those communities. And this is the industrial plan, and it's got to be done from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, or it's not going to get done. And if it makes sense to any of your listeners, they can go to timryanforamerica.com and support my campaign and support me to get on the debate stage and everything else by sending $5 or $10, whatever the deal is today.
they will
see on my website the initiatives that we're putting forth that are going to transform the country.
So let's talk to one of our listeners. Jim's calling from Roxbury to talk to you. Welcome, Jim. What's on your mind for the congressman?
I was wondering what the congressman is going to do if he's elected president about American terrorists.
Okay, Jim, thanks for that call. Congressman Ryan, what's your position on terrorism?
Well, we're going to prosecute them. We're going to prosecute the terrorists. I think we do have to have an aggressive policy where we are making sure we do protect the border and we know who's coming in and out of our country. But at the end of the day, that's got to be done. I mean, I think we've got to have a policy, an immigration policy that both is compassionate but also secures our borders and makes sure that terrorists aren't getting in the country. And also make sure that the drugs aren't getting in the country. I represent Ohio. We have a huge opiate epidemic in Ohio, and I want to make sure that those drugs aren't coming in either. So you have to have a firm policy on security, but you can do that and have a compassionate and economically viable immigration plan.
So you've said you can't come to Ohio and the Great Lakes states and assure them about immigration without first and foremost assuring people that you're going to protect their children. So what do you mean? How are immigrants threatening the children of the people in Ohio?
Well, no, just I think making sure that people understand that you take seriously keeping bad people out of the country, that you take seriously as president of the United States, that you don't want drugs into the country. And once you assure people of that, people are compassionate. People are reasonable. If you make sure they know that you're going to take care of the security piece, then you promote the compassionate, comprehensive immigration reform, a pathway to citizenship, take care of our DACA kids, make the argument that we want to keep a lot of these innovators who are going to our universities, are going to create jobs. We don't want them to get a PhD at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh or Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, and they're prepared and ready to start a company that's going to be worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And we tell them to go back to their home country and create those jobs there. We want those folks to be in the United States. This is a country of diversity. My family immigrated here from Italy not so far back, and Ireland even further back. But this is a country where we want to appreciate that. But you got to make sure people know as president that you're going to make this a secure country as well.
Okay, Congressman, I'm going to take another caller in a second. But first, listeners, please keep calling. What are your questions for Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan? The number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Victoria from Gloucester has called in. Victoria, what's on your mind?
Hi. I think one of the biggest issues facing the country these days is division. We really, really need a leader who's going to help unify us. And while I applaud Congressman Ryan's concern about working people, which I'm very concerned about, I live in a coastal town full of working people, fishermen, who are really suffering. So I was very dismayed to hear him bashing coastal elites as though everybody who lives on the coast is elite. And that kind of talk is not unifying. So I'm just curious what he intends to do to help unify this country.
Congressman, she kind of got you on that one.
Yeah,
so
no,
what
no,
is your
I'm,
unifying
no, I'm
message?
I'm really glad you called in, and I'm really glad you said that, because I'm saying the perception from people in the Midwest is that our communities are falling apart, and that you see the big centers. You see Boston, you see San Francisco, you see Austin, you see New York. And from the vantage point of the average person, you see venture capital, where 80% of it only goes to three states, California, Massachusetts, and New York. I've been trying to say myself is that this problem is everywhere. You mentioned the fishermen. We could talk about farm workers. We could talk about coastal communities. We can talk about tent cities in L.A., where the homeless crisis is of epic proportions, where families are literally living in tent cities in L.A. And I use that example all the time because I do say, look, from our vantage point, it looks like everybody in L.A. is doing great, but really they're not. And so my point is we've got to all come together, urban, rural, north, south, men, women, black, white, brown, gay, straight, working people from all over the country have to come together. And I think the perception of the Democratic Party is that we don't address the real needs of the working class, and that we have to get back to addressing those needs. It needs to be front and center, whether it's true or not. That's the perception. And I appreciate you bringing it up, because that's not how I feel at all, because I see those people. I meet with them. I hear them. They're having the same struggles. In fact, I was in Boston the other day, and I had a young woman come up to me, and she was appreciative I was talking about the working class, because she's working in Boston in retail, and she doesn't feel like she's getting treated fairly. She's got a master's degree, and she's not getting paid enough. She can't find affordable housing, which is a huge issue all across the country. These are all of our problems.
So
and even the top 1%. These are American problems.
So let's take a call. Let's take another call. Noah from Lexington is on the line. Noah, what's your question for the congressman?
Hi, Congressman. So my name's Noah, and I'm a high school student. So something that's been on my mind for a really long time is the topic of gun control with all of these school shootings that have been really going on so massively throughout our country. So I was wondering what you plan to do about gun control and gun reform, and if that's really on your agenda at all.
Thanks for that call, Noah. Congressman, you are a recreational hunter who previously had an A rating from the NRIA, but you've changed your mind over time. And in 2017, you took the money the NRA had given you and donated it to organizations that were advocating for stricter gun laws. So where are you on gun control now?
I'm all for it. I support a background, universal background check. I support the ban on making sure weapons of war don't get into our streets. I support studying gun violence as a public health issue through the Center for Disease Control. I support closing the Charleston loophole in making sure that, you know, people can't get guns even if the 3-day waiting period has gone away, even though you don't have an answer. So I'm for all of those. And I would say I would like us to start playing offense on this issue. If you look at 90% of the kids or the people who do the school shootings, and this is very personal, too, because we have 3 kids in school, and my wife is a first-grade school teacher, and Brady, who's 5, is right down the hall from my wife. And I think you prevent this by the understanding that 90% of the kids who do this come from the school that the incident happens in. And so over 70% of those kids have felt shamed, have felt abused, have felt bullied by people in that school. And so what one of the things I'm promoting as part of my education agenda is social and emotional learning and trauma-based care in the schools. And these programs help connect kids to each other, help kids deal with their trauma, a lot of the mental health issues that are out there, and connect them to the school, to the teacher, and everyone else. And when you see what they studied up at Sandy Hook, they came back with three recommendations on how to prevent gun violence from happening in the schools again. One was the gun issue, gun control. Second was mental health. And the third was put social and emotional learning in the school. That's how you play offense on that.
Congressman, thanks for that. Listen, we have very limited time, but several people have called in asking me to push back a little bit more on your question about terrorism. What would you do about homegrown terrorism? And just very quickly.
In what way?
Well, so what are the preventive measures for domestic terrorism? You talked sort of internationally before. How do you think about homegrown terrorism?
Well, I mean, a lot of this, I think these racial crimes are homegrown terrorism, and I think they should be treated as such. I think that the level of discrimination now that's been incited by the President of the United States should be treated as American terrorists. There's no question about it. And so they should be treated the same. And, you know, obviously you've got to have law enforcement and investigations and keeping an eye on these folks and keeping them away from weapons and other things that would allow them to do damage. But the level of racism from the KKK and these other places should definitely be treated as domestic terrorism.
Yeah, there is so much more we could have talked about, but I do appreciate you coming in. That's Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan. He's running for president in 2020. Congressman Ryan, thanks for being with us on Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tisiana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.